This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Well, it turns out TikTok is a major, major national security threat, which is why Joe Biden loves making videos on TikTok. I mean, this is amazing to me. The president uses TikTok to make videos like 5 minutes ago, but it's apparently a huge, huge national security threat. And when confronted by this, John Kirby's like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. It's good to be with you. The TikTok CEO was getting grilled today before Congress. Trump's not going to be indicted today. He may not be indicted at all, actually. In fact, the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, is going something to the effect of like, well, I mean, like, Trump wants to be arrested. He's the one who came out there and said all these things. And I don't know. I mean, ask him, basically. But there's so much to this. The case is just so weak and it's falling apart before their eyes. Even Chuck Schumer today was asked if he has confidence in Alvin Bragg. And all he could say was, it's too soon to say anything about this. It's just it's too soon. So I can't say anything. It's just too soon. So Democrats are realizing now what I told you days ago, which is that this only helps Trump and plays right into his hands. And now I think what's happening is you're seeing the pressure that's being applied to Alvin Bragg for him not to indict Trump. And, you know, there are these stories out there like Trump wants a perp walk. Well, yeah, why not? I mean, I would if I were him. I'd want a perp walk. I'd want a mugshot. I'd want the whole thing. And you can come out and you can take pictures and I'll sign it. And I'll sell that baby for a gajillion dollars. Absolutely. Absolutely. I would do those things. And the other part of it, too, is that if you're going to turn around and say to everybody, hey, listen, this is we got him. We got him. We arrested him. We got him. And then he beats the rap, which he's going to do. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem for everybody, is it not? Yeah, it is. And that's the issue. That's the issue, is that if he beats the rap, then what do you do? What do you do about it? And he's going to beat the rap. So what they're all hoping is, listen, pass on this one and maybe let Georgia take a crack at him. I got news for you. The Georgia cake case is equally as weak. Look, it's not easy. I mean, it's not hard to find people on a grand jury who will indict somebody. That's why the old saying is you can indict a ham sandwich, which I'd love to eat right now because, once again, I did not eat lunch today. So I'd kill for a ham sandwich right about now. But you could certainly indict one quite easily. And that's the point. An indictment is just a charge by the government. It's not a conviction. It's not, you're not incarcerating the person. I mean, there are times when people get indicted and they are held without bail, but not in New York State where they basically have no bail anymore. So, you know, he could even resist arrest and that's not even a crime in New York anymore. They don't prosecute prostitution. So, you know, as long as you use a sex worker but don't pay her hush money, that's not a problem, apparently, in New York. Actually, none of those things are a problem in New York. It's just they want to get him. But the pressure's on Alvin Bragg to now maybe just let this one go. You know, walk away from this. And as he's feeling that now from Democrats who are saying, listen, all you're doing is helping Trump, he may just decide not to indict him at all. He may turn around and say, the city of New York is going to sue you for civil damages. We want our money back or something like that. We want our money back, but we're not going to arrest him. Andrew McCarthy, writing at National Review, points out that the state grand jury, which is not convening this afternoon either, And the grand jurors, whose proceedings occur in afternoons, usually between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursday, which is what today is, a Thursday, have been on standby, waiting for prosecutors to tell them whether they'd be needed today. And it's unclear whether, in keeping them on standby, Bragg's office has contemplated presenting testimony from one or more additional witnesses, or just going right to asking the grand jurors to vote on an indictment. Remember, the old saying is you can indict a ham sandwich, because it doesn't take much for them to vote on this. It's not going to be unanimous. It's not a conviction. By law, grand jury proceedings are secret. So unless there are leaks, the public cannot know what is actually happening. But he was the assistant United States attorney for the Southern District of New York. So McCarthy knows a thing or two about grand juries. And he says, I found many leakers are usually uninformed or ill-informed. What's reported then always has to be taken with a grain of salt. There are 23 members on a grand jury. You need a quorum of 16 must be present. Unlike a jury trial, it doesn't have to be unanimous. A majority of the 23, i.e. 12 yay votes, is needed to return an indictment. Despite the current screeching of Trump and his sympathizers that Bragg is hiding exculpatory documents, there is no requirement to present evidence favorable to a defendant. I saw that story too today and it made me laugh. You know, Alvin Bragg is sitting on all this evidence that would show Trump's not guilty. Well, he doesn't have to present that. That is presented in a trial. It's not presented to a grand jury. He doesn't have to do that. I mean, you would think he would, but there's no requirement for it. Exculpatory evidence like that infamous Michael Cohen letter that's going around right now, that comes up in a trial. Now, the difference, though, is that in a trial, if the state does not turn over all the exculpatory evidence, then that's grounds for a mistrial and grounds for years later for them to overturn a conviction. If it's discovered that in the course of the trial, the state withheld exculpatory evidence, evidence that would show that the defendant is really not guilty or would raise, obviously, reasonable doubt, which is the standard in a criminal trial. And so what is the standard then for a grand jury to return an indictment? How do all those ham sandwiches get indicted anyway, huh? Well, the standard is probable cause. That's it. Not a high burden. At the trial, though, however, due process comes into it. The defendant has to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt standard that he committed the crime. And then it has to be by a unanimous jury of his peers. But not a grand jury. Grand jury is just probable cause. You think that there was enough evidence to say that he may have done these things? And yeah, we're hiding all the stuff that says he didn't, but it doesn't matter because... And then they get 12 people to raise their hand in New York City. Not that hard. And then they go, okay, we are returning a bill of indictment. There you go. It is at a trial that the accused enjoys the full array of all of the wonderful due process rights that our Constitution affords, the right to challenge the allegations, challenge the accusers, discovery of exculpatory evidence, present a defense, the right to be found not guilty unless the prosecutor proves the charges beyond a reasonable doubt. So then all the stuff you hear so much about the process of this, well, grand jury processes are favored for the state. You know, they favor the state. They always do. They don't favor the defendant. Luckily, though, in a criminal trial, the evidence, the burden is on the state to prove their case. It's not on the defendant to prove that he didn't do it, which is good. I mean, if the state's going to make an allegation against you where you could lose your right to life or limb, as the old saying goes in the Constitution, well, then they got to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And if they can't do that, you walk free. Period. And that's the end of it. And it's like OJ. I mean, everybody knows OJ was guilty, but I mean, doesn't matter. You know, a jury found him not guilty. So, I mean, even OJ was like, really? You effing with me? But that's just how it works. And sometimes the jury gets it wrong and an innocent person goes to prison. And sometimes the jury gets it wrong and a guilty person walks free. That works. System stinks, but it's the best one we have. And I don't know of a better one. I really don't. If you had this whole thing where you had a criminal trial and everybody got to vote at home or vote on Twitter or something, that would be a freaking disaster. if you had it where the jury just played like tic-tac-toe or something, or hangman, also a disaster. So this is the best. It's the best system you have. And you do the process whereby the defense and the prosecution get to weed out jurors that they don't like. And you try to hopefully have a fair jury, which I think is going to be difficult in Trump's case, because let's face it, it's New York City. They don't like him there. It's a pretty woke lefty place, if you haven't noticed. And also, too, everybody knows who he is. So to try to find 12 people who are not familiar with the case or don't know him is a very, very high standard. To find 12 people that don't have an opinion on him one way or the other is also very difficult to do. I mean, think about it. The prosecution does not want somebody walking in for the jury selection wearing a MAGA hat. And the defense certainly does not want somebody walking in with a Biden 2024 hat on, or a DeSantis hat on, for that matter. So that's why it's also not particularly easy in the process in D.C. or Washington, D.C., where Trump is also potentially facing criminal charges related to January 6th, which, again, I also don't think there's a case there either. But I'm not being biased. I just don't think there's a case to prove. Part of the reason why you have prosecutorial discretion is because prosecutors don't like to lose. So they have to pick and choose their cases. I mean, it's very easy to walk into a court, and we've watched a lot of TV shows. We've watched a lot of movies, and you know, it seems like a slam dunk, but most of the time it's just not that black and white, and they have to make decisions. And that's why I always love, like in this season of Your Honor, where they do the back and forth and they try to come up with a deal, you know, 10 years of manslaughter with time served or something like that. And then the prosecution goes, no, we're going to go to trial. Well, if you go to trial, then, you know, this is going to happen. Well, we'll give them 30 years. And then, of course, you present that to the judge. The judge can accept it or reject it. But usually the judge goes along with whatever the prosecution asks for. And most of the time that happens before a trial even begins. A lot of times there's never a trial at all. Usually it's decided before they ever walk into the courtroom. But in this case, I'm sure there'll be a trial. And Trump would love that. And he'll love that. And then he'll beat it because the evidence is just not there. Michael Cohen is a terrible, terrible witness. And he's a guy with no credibility. That's your star witness. You got a problem right there. Also, too, the notion of this question of whether or not he asked Michael Cohen to pay Stormy Daniels, and whether or not Michael Cohen did pay and then said he didn't pay. And then, I mean, Cohen's done enough to shoot his own credibility in the leg. Even the time he testified to Tom Massey's committee and said, oh, yeah, I did things all the time without telling him. I mean, so that's Trump's defense right there. And you got to prove that, yes, Trump had the mental state of mind to have Michael Cohen commit a crime on his behalf, and the whole thing falls apart, in my opinion, under a good cross-examination. I'm not an attorney, but that's just my sense of it. And let's take a look at Georgia for a second, right? Georgia, the idea is that Trump's phone call to the state where he said, I only need 12,000 votes or whatever it was, that's criminal. But he never said, I need 12,000 votes, so go find them. Print them up in the basement or change them. Take a Sharpie or whiteout. They still have whiteout. I don't even know if they do anymore. Go take some whiteout and white out those ballots and put my name on there. He never asked Georgia to do anything criminal. He said, I need 12,000 votes. There were all these votes out there that were being counted and recounted and everything like that. And he just said, I only need whatever it was, whatever the number was, 12,000. That's not evidence that he had the mens rea, the mental state that he wanted them to commit a crime on his behalf. Now, the prosecution will argue that, but I don't know how you prove that. And again, within a reasonable doubt standard, I don't know how you prove that. So then there's January 6th, which is the other thing that the left is hoping they can get him on. And in the January 6th case, of course, it's this idea that he somehow incited the events of that day. But I just go back to the words he used that day, which were, we'll walk to the Capitol peacefully. And he said, yeah, we're going to fight like hell, or we don't have a country. But you find me a politician who has not used the phrase fight like hell or take our country back, or Bernie's used it. Bernie uses it a lot. They all do. I mean, it's just rhetoric. It's hyperbole. It doesn't mean that you want people to actually go and smash in the windows of the Capitol or hang the vice president. And I always think about that, too, from that perspective of like, what do people think would have happened on January 6th if they dragged Pence out and they did, in fact, get him to the gallows and they hanged him, because it's hanged, not hung. Hanged. Well hanged. What do you think would have happened then? I always ask people that. Like, what happens then? People murder the vice president of the United States of America, and then why do they all turn around and then just make you president again? I mean, so I don't think Trump ever thought that. I think only an idiot would ever think that. So again, you'd have to prove what was his mens rea that day. What was his mental state? What was he thinking? What was his intent that they would do what exactly? And I think the intent was that they would show a lot of pressure to have the Senate reject the results and send them to the states. But that's not illegal. I mean, the reason why you have, although it's been changed, you have this Certification Act is so that the Congress can certify the results of the election. It's why the law was there. So, yeah, putting pressure on public officials to change their mind on something is not a crime. If it was, a lot of people would be in prison right now. You can pressure public officials to change their mind, and I'm sure that that's exactly what Trump wanted that day. Go down there, march, yell, scream, make your voices heard, and then they'll turn around and go, all right, we're not certifying these election results. We're sending them back to the states, and then let the fun begin. Not a crime. As long as you have the Electoral Count Act on the books and it gives that provision to Congress to do that, to reject the results, it's not a crime to try to influence them. As long as you do it legally, and which is why when people are smashing windows or going through or vandalizing property or anything like that, it's not legal, so that doesn't qualify. But as long as you're there yelling and screaming and doing all those things, well, you know what? That's protected speech. Point is, they're not going to actually ever get a criminal conviction against Trump. They've been trying for years. And maybe this is the moment, I guess, maybe where the Democrats wake up and go, you know what? Maybe the strategy is not working for us. Maybe this whole strategy of just keep going after the guy is just playing right into his hands. Impeachments, investigations, all this money we've spent nonstop. Maybe it only helps make him more powerful. Maybe whatever forces of gravity are out there, whatever universal forces are at play here, somehow in Trump's case, where other people would perish, he becomes stronger. And that is something maybe they're realizing now and waking up to. And perhaps that's why Alvin Bragg is now maybe thinking twice about this. In fact, Andy McCarthy from National Review writes, we can deduce that Bragg had misgivings because he already mothballed the investigation at least once over a year ago. He resuscitated the investigation under pressure from anti-Trump progressives and a pair of disgruntled prosecutors who quit over his refusal to move forward. One of those prosecutors, a guy named Mark Pomerantz, recently published a book. It's called The People vs. Donald Trump, an inside account, which takes Bragg to task for failing to greenlight an indictment of Trump. But on that score, his focus is not the Stormy Daniels caper per se. In fact, Pomerantz instead compares Trump to mafia boss John Gotti, and opines that the former president is guilty of numerous felony violations of the penal law. And he goes after Trump's financial empire, which he suggests the Justice Department would have been better equipped to investigate than the Manhattan DA. But don't forget something. The state of New York also investigated the Trump empire, and then they sent down a civil complaint over Trump's accounting, a civil complaint. Not a criminal complaint, a civil complaint. And McCarthy points out, and he used to work in the Southern District of New York, it should be observed in any event that federal prosecutors in the notoriously aggressive Southern District of New York, where this guy Pomerantz once ran the criminal division, had an investigation of Trump, but decided the evidence was too weak to merit an indictment. The state's case against Trump is civil rather than criminal, because Bragg's office decided it could not be proved beyond a reasonable doubt. And the attorney general of the state of New York has yet to establish that she can prove it under the less burdensome civil standard. In other words, if you're really looking at this from 30,000 feet, you got to turn around and figure out, all right, I guess the reality is they don't think they can win any of these cases, which is why they were not pursuing them. It wasn't for lack of motivation. They certainly wanted to. Oh, God, no, we know that. They wanted to get him. No question about that. But they didn't think they could win. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to talk about today. I'll continue giving you my thoughts on this, of course. The TikTok CEO who's being grilled on China right now as we speak. He's been there all day today. We'll talk about that as well. Don't forget, tomorrow is our big Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon. I'm excited. Your chance to get some Zeoli Army shirts. Your chance to go to D.C. with me. Your chance to have dinner with me. Play golf with Dom. Play golf with Nick. It's going to be a great day. A lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be on the air with you from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. So we'll have a good time. All right? 855-839-1210 on Twitter. At Rich Zeoli, coming right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
I just went out in the hub, as we call it here at Odyssey, 2400 Market Street, which is where our studio is, and it looks beautiful. All ready for our big Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon tomorrow. Got my alarm clock ready to go, set for 4:30 like the old days, and it's going to be a fun day on the air from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., so looking forward to it. We'll cover all the issues of the day. You won't miss anything, but we'll have a lot of great people stopping by, some big names and some old friends, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, so wake up early tomorrow, if you don't already. Wake up early at 6 a.m., and we'll have a great time. I'm looking forward to being back in Morning Drive for one day. One day only. And then all the way up until 7 p.m. So it'll be a good time, a lot of fun. We'll enjoy it. And then I'll smash that alarm clock again like I did a long time ago. Bought it. We'll smash it to pieces come Friday night in a celebration when it's all over. Now, the TikTok CEO, I'm going to get to that, but I want to actually point something out, which is that this idea that the prosecution has to turn over exculpatory evidence to you, all right? That the prosecution has to give you evidence that may help you if you're a defendant in a crime. This is a very, very central point of the American justice system is, all right? Unfortunately, though, the latest Biden judicial nominee, doesn't know what a Brady motion is. So Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana actually stumped Colorado Magistrate Judge Cato Cruz, who's been nominated to the United States District Court of Colorado. Now, one would hope a judge would know the answer to this. I'm not an attorney. I know the answer to this. It's also something you teach you in your first year of law school. I never went to law school, but I took some classes about law and constitutional law and that sort of thing in college. And I mean, everybody knows this, not that complicated, but the judge does it. Now he's already a judge, which scares me. He's already a Colorado magistrate judge. And now he wants to be on the United States District Court of Colorado, which is kind of a big deal. It's a federal district court, kind of a big deal. But let's say you listen to this little exchange here. Cut 20.
Tell me how you analyze a Brady motion.
How I analyze a Brady motion?
Yes.
Senator, in my 4.5 years on the bench, I don't believe I've had the occasion to address a Brady motion in my career.
Do you know what a Brady motion is?
Senator, in my time on the bench, I've not had occasion to address that, and so it's not coming to mind at the moment what a Brady motion is.
Do you recall the U.S. Supreme Court case, Brady v. Maryland?
I do recall the name of the case, the senator, yes.
And what did it hold?
I believe that the Brady case I believe the Brady case involves something regarding the Second Amendment. It is not, I've not had occasion to address that. If that issue were to come before me, I would certainly analyze that Supreme Court precedent and apply it as I would need to the facts in front of me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, a lot of people are screaming, it's racist, Senator Kennedy, racist to bring this up. He actually did this 5 years ago to a gentleman named Matthew Spencer Peterson, who was President Trump's nominee for the District Court of Appeals. White guy. So Kennedy, it's just kind of Kennedy's thing. He takes the Brady motions quite seriously. Because if you're ever in a trial and the state withheld evidence that was exculpatory for you, it's a big freaking deal. Not in a grand jury, however. Which is why it does not apply to Alvin Bragg. Alvin Bragg does not have to present exculpatory evidence to a grand jury. That's not how the process works. Criminal trial? Yes, but not a grand jury. 855-839-1210 is the number today if you want to weigh in on Twitter at Rich Zioli. So Andrew McCarthy, again, who was a federal prosecutor, points out a number of different things about what may be going on here with Alvin Bragg, the district attorney of Manhattan. And one of the things worth noting is that this guy, Bob Costello, has publicly stated that he gave nearly 3 hours of scathing testimony about Bragg's key witness, Michael Cohen. Cohen further indicates that he provided the DA's office with hundreds of emails and other documents painting Cohen as Costello says. All these documents show that Cohen is a liar, a huge liar, and he encouraged the grand jury to demand to scrutinize all these documents rather than contend itself with the half dozen or so that Bragg's prosecutors cherry-picked to ask him about. Again, prosecutors are not obligated to present exculpatory evidence to a grand jury, but grand jurors are at liberty to ask prosecutors to show them evidence. And if the prosecutors demur, they can hold it against the state if they are asked to vote in an indictment. In other words, okay, hey, state of New York, you're asking us to indict this man. We've asked you to give us certain evidence, and you won't do it, so you're not getting my vote. And count heads. If you don't have if you don't go those 12 votes, well, no indictment's coming back. That's how it works. Cohen's a scoundrel. The guy's been disbarred. He's gone to prison. He's a real scumbag, this guy. He is. And I think he's a terrible, terrible witness. But remember something. Prosecutors bring out deplorable witnesses all the time. All the time. I mean, they bring up mafiosos and not that the mafia exists, but it doesn't. Obviously, it's a rumor, but drug cartels, gangbangers. I mean, they bring up people all the time on the stand. You turn state's evidence and give you protection. So that in and of itself is not the problem. The problem, though, for Michael Cohen is that that's all they have is Michael Cohen's word. The word of a guy who has admitted that he's lied under oath. The word of a man who has admitted that he's lied to protect Trump. This is the problem. And here's the other point, too, that I think is worth noting. As you make a decision as a prosecutor on whether or not you're going to go after somebody, you have to weigh the fact of this evidence, this person who is the state star witness. As much as they're a slime ball, are they a good witness or not? Forget the fact that the guy's a murderer. Can he really name the head of the five families? And the jury can say, well, we don't believe him because he's a criminal, but they're all criminals, so it's no big deal. In Cohen's case, the state doesn't have any other evidence. It's literally his word. And the problem is, Cohen's word is not worth salt. In fact, here's Robert Costello, who said serial liar Michael Cohen would have helped the government. And this I believe. I really do believe this. If this guy could have avoided going to prison, no question about it. Cut 23.
And then I explained what cooperation was. You can either cooperate and give them a little if you don't have important information, and that means your sentence will be reduced. Or if you have something big, and in this case it was clear that the government wanted Donald Trump, then you would get a non-prosecution agreement. And I explained to him, I said, that's a hell of a lot better deal than killing yourself. I said, a non-prosecution agreement gets you out from your from underneath all of your legal troubles. So I have to ask you now, do you have anything on Donald Trump? Anything? And he said, no. And I said, Michael, think about this. Don't answer it quickly. You said that you were up on the roof, ready to jump. And I'm telling you that there is a way out of this if you have information. It has to be true. What do you have on Donald Trump? And that's when he started with the same litany that he used for the rest of the 2 hours. I swear to God, Bob, I don't have anything on Donald Trump. I said, do you have, I said, any information on the Trump Organization? The only thing I know, said he, is that some money was missing from the Trump inaugural ball or something like that. And I said, is Donald Trump involved in that? No. Does Donald Trump know about that? He said, no, he didn't know about it then. I don't even think he knows about it now. But the point is, when somebody is really thinking of committing suicide and you're offering them a legal way out of this, if he had any information about Donald Trump, that would have been the one time, even for a serial liar like Michael Cohen, to fess up and say, well, wow. I know this or that because I want to save my own hide. But he didn't do that.
Yeah, he didn't do that. Remember, this is this is Cohen's former legal advisor, Robert Costello. So he had nothing that he could offer that would save his hide. That's the other thing, too, is that a lot of times when bad guys are facing, the reason why they turn state's evidence is so that they don't have to go to prison or not as long. Cohen doesn't, there's no deal here to be made. They're not offering Cohen, well, you're going to walk here. Cohen's already been found guilty. He had nothing to turn over. Think about that. The guy's a crappy witness. Here is Robert Costello. Michael Cohen told him he paid the hush money on his own. Cut 24.
Bob, did he tell you specifically he did this on his own without Donald Trump's knowledge?
Well, here's what he did. He said he did this on his own. He didn't mention Donald Trump's name. He said there was a problem. Stormy Daniels' lawyer or representative got in touch with him. He worked out a negotiated deal, got an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, $130,000. I asked him, I said, is that Donald Trump's money? No. Did you get that from any Trump organization? No. Is that your money? Did you take it out of one of your accounts? No. I said, where did you get the money from? He said, I took out a HELOC loan. I said, why would you do that? He said, because I wanted everything to be secret. I didn't want my own wife to know about this. I didn't want Melania to know about this. That's what he said. He said if he had taken $130,000 out of one of his accounts, his wife would have been pumping him for information that he didn't want to give to anybody.
Yeah, see that? He's a bad witness, bottom line. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, I drive, as you know, a Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo, and I love hearing the stories from my listeners about the great experience that you've had getting a Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo. And this is a great time to go. I mean, the best time ever. You know why? Because Judith Krupnik is giving you an extra $2,023 off a brand new Volvo in stock from their incredible selection. On top of all the other incentives that they have available as well. Oh, you're going to love it. These are fast cars, safe cars, smart, stylish, the latest technology, and absolutely beautiful. And truly, too, the service aspect is second to none. You'll never find anyone who treats you better. Their whole entire philosophy is relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. So what are you waiting for? Go see them today. They're right on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. They are minutes over the bridge, and they'd love to see you. They would love to put you behind the wheel of a new Volvo at $2,023 off, which makes perfect sense, but there'll never be any pressure. So if it's not right for you, the car's not right for you, that's it. Or if you got to come back, maybe you got to come back a couple times. That's okay. I have friends who've done that. I have friends who've gone there five or six times until they finally settled on the XC90 because there's so many beautiful models to choose from. And since we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios, you know that in this age of cancel culture, they stand with us. So head there today. Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you. Because at Cherry Hill Volvo, relationships matter.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
There's also a statute of limitations problem that the District Attorney of New York is dealing with, too. Yeah, it's not a statute. It's a statute. Seinfeld line. Statute of limitations. Not a statute. We have statutes of limitation to protect people from the state just relentlessly going after them. Certain crimes are so egregious, of course, there is no statute of limitations. But this is a stupid misdemeanor charge. So there is. And the statutory limits on this one, we're really right at the moment here where it's got to kind of fish or cut bait, as they say, or blank or get off the pot. You know what I mean? Bragg has the advantage of a five-year span to file charges, but he's brushing up against it at this point. The payments to Cohen were 6 years ago, assuming that that's what happened. But Bragg will presumably argue that they generated other business records for tax purposes in 2018. So maybe that gets him to a spring 2023 deadline or a few months later, depending on the machinations of accounting. But he's probably at the end of his statute of limitations rope, according to Andy McCarthy, even by his own forgiving standards. And he's playing with fire with that. The case is so dubious, he's already walked away from it once. Perhaps Costello's appearance reminding Bragg of why he suspended the Stormy investigation in the first place a year ago. And here's Michael Cohen's former legal advisor, Michael Cohen being the star witness, the former lawyer to Trump. And here's Costello going out there and he's saying Cohen's a liar. Cohen lied about this. He lied about that. He lied about this. He lied about that. You could understand why maybe Alvin Bragg is thinking twice now about an indictment. So this is why, I mean, over the weekend, you know, I was with my buddies and we were in Atlantic City and everybody's losing their freaking minds on social media about this and demanding that this person come out and say something and that person come out and say something. And DeSantis called the National Guard. And I was just like, well, take a deep breath here. Let's relax and let's review everything and let's think this through. First of all, if this does happen, this indictment, Trump's just going to ride it. I mean, he's going to ride the storm here and he's going to generate more popularity and more publicity and everything else. And he's going to beat the rap. Although it's probably going to drag out in court forever. And there's nothing to worry about here with this case. But from Alvin Bragg's perspective, there's a lot to worry about because when you go after Trump like this, he just gets stronger. And everybody knows that. And that's why everybody's been telling him now. I think he's been getting a lot of phone calls going, listen, man, if you don't think you can kill this guy, then please don't go after him. I mean, if you're going to take a shot at the king, you better not miss, as the old saying goes. If you don't think you can get him, if you don't think you got a slam dunk conviction here, please don't go after him. Because all you're going to do is empower him and embolden him. And maybe there are other jurisdictions where he might have actually committed some things that might be a better case. Georgia or D.C. or something else. I'm not saying that, but that's probably what they're saying. And maybe you should wait. Maybe you should wait. This is what Trump said about the investigation and all the investigations and everything they've been doing against him all these years. Cut 18.
These four horrible radical left Democrat investigations of your all-time favorite president, me, is just a continuation of the most disgusting witch hunt in the history of our country. It's gone on forever with Russia, 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 and Ukraine, 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 and the Mueller hoax. It's an absolute disgrace what's going on. They even spied on my campaign. And remember this, with all of the work that they did on Mueller, no collusion. That's what the answer was all no collusion. Whether it's the Mar-a-Lago raid or the Unselect Committee hoax, the perfect Georgia phone call, it was absolutely perfect, or the Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion plot, they're all sick And it's fake news. Our enemies are desperate to stop us because they know that we are the only ones who can stop them. And they know it very strongly. And they're looking at the polls where not me, but we are up by so much. They can't even believe it. We won twice and now we've got to win a third time. They know that we can defeat them. They know that we will defeat them. But they're not coming after me. They're coming after you. I'm just standing in their way, and I always will stand in their way. Thank you very much.
All right. You laughed at that. What'd you laugh at? The
the Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yeah. It's immature is what it is. It's immature. Very immature. Come on.
It's very immature for like a 75-year-old man to be saying that.
And he says it so seriously, too. Stormy, yeah. Horse-faced Daniels.
I love that he started it off with your favorite president, too. That's so funny.
Yeah. He's not even saying former president.
No.
No, he's just, you're like, listen, I'm still president, right?
He sort of sounds like a Trump impersonator.
Well, we had that Trump impersonator yesterday. Do we still have that guy?
Yeah, I can pull it up real quick. Hang on.
Yeah, let's do that. That guy's pretty good. Actually, yeah, that guy's better than Trump.
They kind of sound similar.
Yeah, I think the Trump impersonator does a better Trump at this point than Trump does. It's me, your favorite president, Stormy, Horseface, Daniels. He doesn't even blink.
He's become meta.
He's just living in the alternate universe here. All right, you got the guy? Hang on. Pull him up here.
Yeah, here we go. I got it.
This guy's good. What's his name again?
Sean Farish?
Hey, I'm being indicted by Fat Alvin. Fat Alvin Bragg. What a disgrace. He's a big, fat disgrace. What a terrible person. And they would call it a circus. I would call it a circus, but everybody's talking about it. The circus has been canceled because Fat Alvin Bragg has to use the tent as his suit jacket these days. That's what people are saying. Everybody's talking about it. You know, they say you can indict a ham sandwich, but Fat Alvin Bragg, Rosie O'Donnell, and Joy Behar ate all of the ham sandwiches. Now there's nothing left. Fat Alvin Bragg, soft on crime, tough on Twinkies. Believe.
Got that? Very good. That guy's good. What's his name?
His name is Sean Farish, Farash, it looks like.
Man, he's good. Fat Alvin Bragg. Fat Alvin Bragg. I love it. I love it. I love that guy. We got to laugh, right? Or you go insane, so you might as well. What's that?
Oh, sorry. Ignore that.
Oh, okay. I ignore everything you do.
That's a step too far. Sorry, I was trying to queue up Trump's quip of Stormy Daniels. Hang on. I'll have the Stormy Daniels thing again. I want to hear it one more time. It's too funny not to play twice.
I think it's terrible. You can play it. I think it's terrible. But all right, you can play it one more time. Hey, right.
Got to laugh. You'll go crazy, right?
That's true.
Henry, stop turning your mic on. I can't cue it up.
Stormy Horseface Daniels. I just did it. I'm not an impersonator, but
it was absolutely perfect. Or the Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion plot.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just saying. He does a good Trump, that other guy, though. He does a good Trump.
That's so funny. No wonder his poll numbers are going up.
Exactly right, right? Stormy Horseface Daniels. I don't think women get offended by that because I think they don't like her. So there will probably be some woke beta males who get offended by that. Luckily, I'm not one.
I just saw Sue Alberici on Twitter said that she has to confess. She just burst out laughing.
Yep, you see that?
Everybody thinks it's funny.
You see that? Look at that. All right. 855-839-1210 is the number if you would like to weigh in on everything we are discussing today. The TikTok, I'm going to turn our attention to TikTok, though, because the CEO of TikTok was before Congress today and even admitted that, yes, the Chinese Communist Party can, in fact, manipulate information and spy on you. Isn't that something, right? But before I go to break, I just want to mention, too, with TikTok, keep in mind that our idiot president of the United States, Joe Biden, has been using TikTok to communicate. They all have. At the very same time, they're telling us it's a national security problem. So keep that in mind as you hear them try to spin about Joe Biden using TikTok and why that's a problem. All right. DeSantis, by the way, Governor Ron DeSantis was also asked about nicknames since Trump gives out a lot of them. This will air tonight. And DeSantis. Ron DeSantis was asked about his favorite nickname that Trump has given him so far. Cut 14.
Which is your favorite nickname that Trump's given you so far? Is it Ron DeSanctimonious or Meatball Ron?
Well, I can't.
I think even he went off Meatball Ron.
I don't know how to spell DeSanctimonious. I don't really know what it means, but I kind of like it's long. It's got a lot of vowels. I mean, so we go with that. That's fine. You know, you can call me whatever you want. I mean, just as long as you also call me a winner, because that's what we've been able to do in Florida, is put a lot of points on the board and really take this state to the next level.
You see that? I do like a good nickname, no question about it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Listen, it is Madness Month, and I do love madness, but the real madness is what you've been paying to heat and cool your home. I want to encourage you to do what I did and give USA Insulation a call today. I know what you're thinking. Winter is pretty much over, and hopefully it is. But better insulation isn't just about winter. It saves you money all year long. And since the savings is immediate and for the lifetime of your home, the sooner you get insulated, the greater your overall savings. So if your home is out of balance and you go right from heat to air and back to heat, stop the madness. To help with that, the folks at USA Insulation are extending their no payments, no interest deal into March. Get insulated now and you don't have to make a payment for an entire year. Plus, there's a new energy credit that gives you back $1,200 of the insulation cost. So stop the madness of an uncomfortable home and high energy costs with one easy phone call to 1-800-USA-FOAM. 1-800-USA-FOAM or usainsulation.net.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.